And you sound better today. That's a good thing. But I thought, you know, we really need to support and help and care and pray for our pastors more than we do. We're really blessed by the serving and the love and the heart of our pastors. And it's not an easy job. And we just praise God for Pastor Keith in particular. We are just so thankful. We don't say it enough, but thank you to Pastor Keith and his family for his serving and joining with us over the last few years. We've been blessed by his heart for God, his faithfulness, his preaching, his work with us in the English congregation, and. And we're just thankful for what God is doing here in Pacific Grace and within the English congregation through you and through your family. So thank you. We pray for you, and we appreciate you. And the turducken's an added bonus. So, yes. So I said to Keith, yeah, I can share. I have a passage that comes out of my devotional from a couple of years ago that has spoken to me on a few different occasions. And it's a passage out of the book of Luke, Luke 18, verses 35 to 42. And that passage, it's a story about Jesus healing a blind beggar. It was about 2 years ago when this came up in my devotionals, and it really spoke to me, and I thought, that's something that I'd like to share with you this morning. Pastor Keith, I noticed in the bulletin, he's got on there that he was going to preach this morning on a fresh start. And this kind of lines up with his original intent. I've titled it Five Keys. I don't know if we've... I don't know how to use his fancy PowerPoint thing either, but thank you, Hansel. Five steps to a more abundant and fulfilling life in 2015. The story's about Jesus healing this blind beggar, and it's a difference between existing and living. And through this passage, we see this blind beggar sitting by the side of the road, what his life is like before and after his encounter with Jesus. Let's read the passage. Maybe we'll read it, if you read it with me together, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get going. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." So the verse that follows that, it does say, in verse 43, it says, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the life of Jesus that came to this earth, that walked the face of this earth so that we could know you. We thank you, Lord, for the words this morning that come from your scripture and your truth. We pray that you will make these words, Lord, come alive in our hearts and our minds this morning, that you will use them, Lord God, to pierce our hearts, that we will open ourselves, our minds and our hearts, to hear your voice and to hear your word, and may it be your truth and your spirit that speaks this morning, Lord God. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but at my workplace, we have workplace diversity, and we have what's called workplace accommodation. And so at work, we have people who are blind, and we have people who are deaf, and we have people with all different types of disabilities. And what we do in the workplace is we accommodate them, and we try and figure out ways to help people to integrate so that they can actually function and work in a normal fashion or an effective way. And so I don't have any blind people in my in working in my department, but I do have a deaf person, and I also work with a deaf person on a project team in another area. And so we learn to work together. And actually, I learned how to say hello, how are you, how to greet somebody in deaf in sign language. Any of you guys know how to do that? I'm going to show you if you want to learn. Okay, so you go like this. That means hello, hello, how are you? So it goes like this. Try it with me. Hello. How are you? So when you come across a deaf person, it'll help because it immediately opens them up, and we just, it's just part of the way we are today in today's society. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that's what it means. If not, it could mean see you later. I feel like throwing up now. But anyways, no promises, but I'm pretty sure that's what it means. So in today's world, for blind people, we have the CNIB, Canadian National Institute for the Blind. And with the CNIB, there's like 850 professionals that they hire across the country to help blind people. They do research. They do accessibility. They design workstations, and they do public advocacy. They do education, and they help people get into society and function normally in society. They have 10,000 volunteers across Canada helping blind people work and function in society. But that's a different world, I think, than the life of this beggar. The blind beggar in this day and in this passage, his name is Bartimaeus. And I don't know for sure. I haven't actually, and maybe Pastor Keith will correct me afterwards about my mistakes today. But I'm pretty sure, I'm guessing that in those days there was no CNIB. I'm guessing that in those days there was no, 10,000 people helping him figure out how to get, gainfully employed and to make a living. And this was his life. He gets up in the morning. He goes, finds his place by the side of the road. And he begs. That was his life. And then one day, he has an encounter with Jesus, and it changes everything. It's a fresh start. It's a completely new life. Can you imagine the joy, the exhilaration, the excitement, the fulfillment that Bartimaeus receives from his encounter with Jesus? And so this morning, we're going to look at those five key steps that he actually takes, that he goes through to move from where he is to where God wants him to be. And so the first thing that he does is, it's in verses 35 to 38. Verses 35 to 38. He seizes the moment. You see, God's always at work. We might not see it. We might not think about it. Sometimes God, for us, we tune God in and out. I don't know if you notice that, but, we'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff, and then we'll sit down and we'll pray, oh, yeah, God. And we're talking to God now. But a lot of times we tune God in and out. But God's always at work. Our God is at work, and he's a pursuing God. The Bible, throughout the Bible, we see God on mission. He's on mission pursuing you and pursuing me and wanting to bring us into a personal and eternal relationship with God our Father. When Bartimaeus woke up that morning, he probably thought it was just another ordinary day. Same routine, same dusty road, dirt in my face, same begging, same response from people walking past, not giving him anything. He had no idea he was going to encounter Jesus, that his life was going to intersect with the Son of God. He didn't have time to prepare, how he was going to respond. The opportunity just comes up. It just shows up. Jesus is there. And Bartimaeus responds. He seizes that opportunity, and he responds to Jesus immediately. Think for a moment about how God has maybe pursued you in your life. Has God pursued you? Has he chased you? Has he hunted you down? Has he been calling? Bartimaeus' encounter with Jesus is no accident. It's no coincidence. And it's no surprise to God. It's the same when God is pursuing you. And so what holds people back from responding when Jesus shows up? When Jesus calls, what is it that holds people back and stops people from responding? Frequently, it's something that we're all really, really good at. It's procrastination. How many of you guys are really good procrastinators? Okay, honestly, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you are really, really good procrastinators? Yeah, okay. I am too. Especially in school, you know, you got this major research project to do. I mean, really lots of joy, you know. And you know what? Maybe it's time to rearrange my room, sort out all my files, clean the car, do whatever. Maybe you have to do that today. Procrastination. We're going to do it tomorrow. There's something else that I need to do today. Oh, my kids want to play. I'd rather do that today than... So procrastination is something that helps or that puts us off. And so here's something the Bible says, and it's a really good version, the Message version, and I like this. And it's for me and for you, all you good procrastinators. Luke 9, verses 62, the Message version says this. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. And so when it comes to Jesus, and when Jesus is calling, and when your life intersects with Jesus, you can't put it off. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. You don't know if there's even going to be a tomorrow. Only God knows that. What we do know is the first step that Bartimaeus takes is he doesn't miss it. He says, I'm going to seize this moment. And he does. The second thing that he does, Bartimaeus, is that he moves against his fears. He moves against his fears. And we see in these verses, Bartimaeus putting his faith over his fears in two or three different ways. First, okay, we have the crowd, and we have these non-begging people, the sighted people, the people that are hanging around Jesus. They're scolding him. They're telling him to be quiet. Don't bother him. He's not going to listen to you. What does Bartimaeus do? Bartimaeus is not going to let the fear of rejection, he's not going to let the fear of disapproval of man stop him. No way. In fact, he shouts even louder. He even gets more aggressive and more active. He says, Jesus, son of David. He's not going to let his fears stop him from getting to Jesus. The second way that we see him, and this is actually only my assumption, but I think he moves past his fears in a second way. Because the first way, he hears about these voices, these critics, these negative voices yelling at him. They're yelling at him. Ah, be quiet. They're scolding, rebuking him. Those are the external voices that he gets past. But do you think he had any internal voices or negative voices or critics that are maybe running through his own head? Do you ever hear those negative voices? You're just a beggar. You're blind. You're not good enough. Don't bother. It's not going to make a difference. Nothing's going to change. And it isn't going to get any better than this. Do you ever hear those voices? I think sometimes we do. I think if we're honest, sometimes we play those tapes over and over in our minds and in our heads. Sometimes it's the voice of the devil. But it's those negative voices that Bartimaeus said, no way. I'm going to move past that. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, and I'm going to let that faith override those fears that I have and those tapes that are playing inside my head. You see, in Romans 12, the Bible tells us, be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. So Jesus, God teaches us that we're transformed by what? How are we transformed? We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so what we're putting into, what the tapes that we're playing, the messages, the voices that we're playing and replaying to ourselves are really important. They can make a life difference in your life, in your 2015, in this new year. The tapes that we're playing, what are those tapes? And that's why the Bible teaches us to those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, that are just, you know, the righteous things, the godly things, the holy things, those are the things that we should be feeding into our minds, that we should be thinking on. Bartimaeus moves past his fears in a third way in this passage. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you to play God for a moment. Actually, wait, is that allowed? Okay. I'm going to let you play God for a moment. Or you're Jesus. You're God. You're the God of the universe. And you're standing there, and you see back over there, there's a blind person. And he's calling for your help. Hey, you're the Son of God. You know what you're going to do. You know what you can do. You can heal that guy. You can help that guy. Okay, so you're Jesus. Bartimaeus is there calling, help, help, help. What are you going to do? Are you going to A, say, hey, Bartimaeus, make your way over here through the crowd, blind person? Or are you going to say, B, let me come to you. And let me make my way to you. He's a blind person. Let's pretend he's in a wheelchair. Or he's on crutches or something. So, Kate, you're God. There's a blind guy. He's calling. Show of hands. How many of you are going to say, hey, blind person, disabled person, make your way through the crowd and come to me? Put your hands up. How many of you are going to say, okay, you know what, I'll come over to you and I'll heal you? Show of hands. Ah. People with heart. Because as a blind person, I mean, come on, give me a break. Why would you make the guy make, you know? So as we read this, why? Why then does Jesus make him come all the way up? It's not because he's being heartless. It's not because he's being cruel. It's not because he's being lazy. I think most of us have some part of our physical bodies that we're actually not happy with. I think most of us, when we look in the mirror and we think about it, there's probably something like, oh, I wish I were a little heavier or bigger. I wish I were a little thinner. I wish I were a little taller, a little shorter. Is it true? Most of us, we think about ourselves, and there's something that, you know, maybe it's your thigh or your nose or your ears. You know, for me, I'm kind of a little on the skinny side. So, you know, what do we tend to do? We tend to cover it up. I wear my jacket. I don't look as skinny. You know, and so it's human. We tend to figure out how do we cover and how do we compensate for our the things that we're self-conscious about. And I think for Bartimaeus, he's a blind person. He has to step up. He has to show his faith. But his faith has to be greater than his fear and his self-consciousness. And he's got to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm humble enough to say, here's my weakness. Yeah, I'm blind. And that's part of the mask that we have in church sometimes or in society. We just have this mask on. And we cover up our hurts or our wounds, our cripples. But I notice that Jesus, in this passage, makes Bartimaeus get up, demonstrate his faith, show his humility, say, I believe. And he's not afraid about sharing and people seeing him make his way over. Jesus does the same thing in Mark chapter 3. There's a man in a synagogue, and he's got this crippled hand. He's got a crippled hand. And it's probably marked him for all his life. He's probably, who knows, I don't know, maybe he was born with it, but he would always, that's probably how many people knew him. That's so-and-so, Phil, with the crippled hand. Couldn't do stuff with it. Couldn't shake. Couldn't greet people. He's probably very self-conscious. I don't think the man with the crippled hand goes around and just kind of, he probably put it in his pocket, probably walked around, tried to keep it. And in the synagogue, Jesus is there, and he sees the man with the crippled hand, and his heart is moved to heal him too. And he does the same thing, and he says, hey, man with the crippled hand, come up, stand in the middle of the church, in the middle of the synagogue. Not only just stand in the middle of the synagogue, put your hand out. Everyone can see your crippled hand. And then Jesus heals him. Jesus is looking for us to move past our fears, to take that step, to take that action, so he can heal. Bartimaeus does this, and he does it in a great way. I love how the book of Mark describes it. Mark 10, verse 50 says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumps to his feet, and he comes to Jesus. Forget all that other stuff. I'm just going for Jesus. And the Bible actually has this theme throughout it. And one of the themes of faith is that according to your faith, it will be done to you. Mark 9:29. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So, the ball's in your court. It's up to you. You can experience in 2015 a huge abundance of God's goodness. You can experience a huge abundance of God's power at work in your life, in your family, in whatever. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Bartimaeus demonstrates he has his faith by moving past his fears. The third thing is in verse 41. Oh, actually, in verse 40, it says, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. I love that verse. I love those words. Jesus stopped. Jesus knows Bartimaeus' need. He knows your need. He hears Bartimaeus' cry, and he hears your cry and my cry. And because of the love of Jesus, it stops the Son of God. He stops because of you and me. I love those words. In verse 41, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. So the third thing that Bartimaeus does is He declares his faith. You need to seize the moment. You need to move against your fears in faith. And then you need to declare your faith. So Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Did he ask because he didn't know? No, of course. Jesus knew exactly. It wasn't for Jesus' benefit that he asked the question, what do you want me to do? It was for Bartimaeus' benefit. It gave Bartimaeus the opportunity to publicly declare his faith. Do you really believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you really believe that Jesus can do what he says he can do? Declare your faith. A secret faith is a shallow faith. In the passage, Bartimaeus calls him Lord, calls him Jesus, Son of David, and he asks by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have you ever backed away from declaring your faith? Maybe in your workplace, or with your friends. Have you ever backed away from and shied away from saying, yeah, I'm a child of God. I am a Christian. Have you ever done that? As Christians, we're under increasing pressure and challenges for our faith. And I was really encouraged one time in our fellowship with a sister, and she was sharing about how she, during Halloween, was bold, was able to stand up. I'm a Christian, and this is my faith, and this is how I worship my God. That's great encouragement. The verse is also pivotal. It's pivotal because Bartimaeus turns to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal him. You see, up to this point in his life, Bartimaeus has been begging. Who has Bartimaeus been begging to all his life? Bartimaeus has been begging to the world his whole life. And in this pivotal verse, Bartimaeus turns from begging to the world to turning to Jesus and asking Jesus for what he needs. And we don't need to beg to Jesus because a son doesn't need to beg to his father. God wants to give us and all the best. We just need to ask in faith. So when I first read this passage, I used to think that the passage was really about people not knowing Jesus and how, if you don't know Jesus and you encounter Jesus and you accept Christ, it changes your life, and you have eternal life, and you have an eternal relationship with Jesus, and it is about that. And if you don't know Jesus today, this passage is for you. It's about being blind and then seeing again. But I also found that this passage is also about those that already know Jesus, because a lot of us are actually still begging to the world. Maybe we're not begging for money, but we're still looking to the world for the things to satisfy us. What was Bartimaeus begging for? Yes, he was begging for money, but I think he was begging for other things as well, too. And this is just my interpretation. I think he was begging for, he's blind, he's there, the world is enjoying all this stuff, there's a big crowd, there's parties happening, people walking by, the world is passing him by. I think he was begging for the world's acceptance. I think he was begging to be a part of the world, to enjoy what the world was enjoying. I think he was begging to have what he sees other people having and him not having. Do you think that sometimes you or I, we're begging to the world for these things? Do you see yourself in the eyes of the beggar? Looking to the world or looking to the world's things will never satisfy us. It didn't satisfy Bartimaeus, it won't satisfy you, it won't satisfy me. The only thing that can satisfy us is Jesus Christ and our relationship with God. And in this verse, Bartimaeus turns to God, turns to Jesus. And even the good things that we pursue in this world, in this life, you know, education, a good job, oh, I want to get married, I want to have children, I want this, I want that, I want my kids to grow up well. Those are all good things. But if we place them above seeking God first, they're idols. We need to turn to Jesus, just like Bartimaeus did, because only Jesus can give us that truly fulfilling and abundant life. The fourth thing that he does is in verse 42 to 43. After seizing the moment, moving in faith, and declaring his faith in Jesus, Bartimaeus simply accepts and he receives God's grace. That's the amazing beauty and love of our God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. God gives it to us. We confess our faith, and we receive freely. And Bartimaeus received, and he said, and Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight." In verse 43, immediately he received his sight. Some of us are carrying major disappointments in life. Or maybe we have major unresolved conflict or suffering from pain or grief. Maybe it's a feeling of loneliness or the life's passed you by. Or maybe there's sin in your past and you're stuck. You're stuck living in this past. The tapes are playing over and over in your head. You're in a rut. The only difference between a rut and a grave is the length. The length of time that you're in it. And the good news is that our God is a God of grace. And with God, the past does not equal the future. And it's 2015, and it's a new year. And God is saying to you this morning, it's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. He said that to Bartimaeus. He's saying that to us this morning. The past does not have to equal the future. Jesus wants to lift the burden and the pain from your shoulder, and he wants to give it to you, even though it costs Jesus everything. Jesus offers us his grace freely, and we just need to accept it. The final thing that Bartimaeus does is he takes that next step. Verse 43. Immediately he receives, then he follows Jesus, praising God, and when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Bartimaeus takes that next step to get to the fulfilling and abundant life that God had planned for him. What best describes your life today? Are you sitting by the side of the road, begging to the world? Or are you living the abundant life that God, only God, your Creator, can give you? Because he's the one who designed you. He has a special and unique purpose and plan for your life. Bartimaeus takes this next step and immediately follows Jesus, praising God, and he joined God on missions. Faith without action is dead. If you have faith and you don't do anything with it, it's meaningless. What's your next step? What's your next step? Maybe it's to accept Christ, Jesus, as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe it's to reconcile a broken relationship. Maybe it's to accept God's forgiveness for your past sins. Maybe it's to start tithing. Maybe it's to go on a short-term mission or to serve. I don't know what your next step is, but I do know this. You have one. God never stops working in you and around you. And he wants to draw us into a deeper walk and a closer relationship with him. He wants you and me in 2015 and for our lives to have the fulfilling and abundant life that he has already planned and prepared for you because he loves you. Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do?" He asked that to Bartimaeus. He's asking you that this morning. What do you want me to do? I pray that these five steps will help us in 2015, achieve and realize all the goodness that God has planned for our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love. You are sovereign. You knew us before the world began. You knew us before we were born. And we thank you for your perfect plan and your purpose and your love for us. And we pray that you bless us individually. You bless our families. You bless our church in 2015. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.